Okay, so we saw yesterday the Gemara, which at the in the final analysis, the
Rabbi, could
Gemara.
you just state the page, please?
Yes, we're on the Chof Gimel on the base. Chof Gimel on base, and the final analysis is based on a lengthy discussion yesterday, is that we're back shver. I take it shver is a good word that we all understand in Yiddish. But basically, the Mishnah is shver. We're in difficulty. Why are we in difficulty? So let's explain the question once again. Reb Meir holds that you can passel the other one's dayonim. Not only that, you can also passel the other one's edim. But Reb Meir also admitted that you can only passel the other one's dayonim if the dayonim are not mumchim. If the dayonim are mumchim, fully qualified, known to be competent dayonim, then you cannot passel the dayonim. So the Gemara's huge question was, if that's the case, then how can you passel other people's edim? Edim are effectively considered mumchen. There's no certification or competence or expertise needed to be an ed. You just need to be a kosher witness. So what does Reb Meir mean when he says you can passel somebody else's edim? That was the question. So we suggested so far one answer, but that's all fallen through. If you remember the end of yesterday, the answer that was suggested was it doesn't mean a dim, it means an aid echod. How can that be? So we had a whole discussion. You can have a rare case of an aid echod who is given, who has been installed with power by the alleged borrower. So if he says, I'm prepared to go with the evidence of a single eid, so even though the Torah does not consider him a kosher eid, because you need two in the cases of financial matters. But if he has said, I'm prepared to go along with the eidus of a single eid, then it's his prerogative. Reb Meir says, nonetheless, you're allowed to change your mind afterwards. In the case of real eidim, so you can't challenge the eidus that the Torah has given power to. But where the Torah has not given power, it's my personal choice. And I can do whatever I like, it's my money. So I have decided that I'm going to follow the evidence of an Eid Echad. I can then backtrack. The Rabbanon disagree. Rabbanon said, no, you cannot change your mind. You can only passel the other one's Eid in the event it turns out that he really is a apostle or he's a Koroiv. But otherwise, you cannot change your mind. That was the final answer. We compared it to another case. We're not going to go into that now, when you chose to rely on your father, etc., etc., etc. But why did this all fall through? So if you remember, it all fell through, and this is the way we left off with yesterday. Says the Gemara, I'm sorry to tell you, it's totally unsatisfactory to say that when it says in the Mishnah, Eidov, that it really means a single eid. Why is it so unsatisfactory? Because the first line in the Mishnah spoke about Dayonoi in the singular, his Dayon. And then the Mishnah switched from the singular, Dayonoi, to the plural, Eidov, witnesses. So it's highly unlikely that Eidov means the singular. If I wouldn't have had that first line of the Mishnah, it would just say Eidov. So then maybe we could suggest a doichuk, even though it's written in the plural, but it means the singular. But I can no longer suggest that if the contrast in the Mishnah is so obvious. In the first line, it uses the singular. In the second line, it uses the plural. So now to go and tell me that, no, even though it's written in the plural, it means the singular. That is a huge doichuk, and the Gemara is unprepared to accept that. And if that's the case, where are we up to now? So we're back to square one.
Very
We're stuck. It's shver. How can you possibly passel the eidim, plural, of the other party? What's the difference between regular kosher eidim and dayonim mumchim? Remember, Reb Meir agrees that you cannot passel dayonim mumchim. So why on earth are you allowed to passel eidim? And don't tell me we're talking about a single eid, an eid echod. We have finally fallen away from that. You cannot say that the Mishnah is talking about an eid echod. It says eidov. Eidov means the plural. We're clearly talking about a case where there was two Eidim, and therefore we are totally stuck. How can you puzzle two Eidim that your fellow litigant has brought to Beis Din? That's the big question. So have a look in the Gemara, and we're now going to see there's another teretz. It's the eighth or ninth line. The first word on the line is Dayonoi, towards the end of that line. Omar Ribeloza. So Ribeloza is now coming with a brand new teretz, and Rabbeisai, Midaf Halten Kop. Midaf Halten Kop. Reb Larry, you're good with Yiddish? You probably are, actually. Not so good. Okay.
Merkala speaks Yiddish, actually.
She speaks Yiddish? Okay, so we'll speak Yiddish today. Midaf Halten Kop. Midaf Halten Kop. I'll tell you a funny story now that you remind me. My father told me that when he learned in the gates at Yeshiva, the Mashkiach of the Yeshiva, his name was Reb Moshe Schwab. You may have heard of his brothers in America, Reb Shimon Schwab and Reb Mordechai Schwab. So the Mashkiach in Gates of Yeshiva was called Reb Moshe Schwab. And as you can imagine, he was a real Litvisha Yid, as all of the staff were in Gates of Yeshiva, a real Litvisha Yid. Somehow, nobody quite knows how, he convinced himself that he's able to speak French. Wasn't quite clear how, but he apparently, my father told me, when French Bochrim came to the Yeshiva, so he was one who conversed with them and he gave them shiurim and he looked after them. One day, very, very exciting, one of these French boys became a chosen and he approaches the Mashkiach, Reb Moshe Schwab, and he says, I'm getting married in Paris and I'd like to invite the Mashkiach to come to my chasna in France, in Paris. Says, okay, be my pleasure. Not only that, he says, I'd like to ask the Mashkiach please to give a drosha at my wedding in French. Okay, so he was more than happy to accept the challenge. Like I said, he somehow convinced himself as Litvish Yid that he was able to speak French, and this was going to be his first golden opportunity to give a public address in French, and it was an offer that he couldn't refuse. Off he goes to France, to the Chasna in Paris, and lo and behold, he gives this Litvisha drosha, the chasna, in the best French that he could muster up. And apparently one of the guests at the wedding, one of the French guests, approached him at the end of the drosha and said to him, oh, Rabbi Schwab, I'm very, very excited. This is a big day for me. I think this is the first time in my life that I've understood an entire drosha in Yiddish. That's what he told him. I'll call upon him back to our subject. Rabbi Isai, Midaf Halten Kop. What does it mean with Halken Kop? We have to hold our heads over here. It's a complicated piece of Gemara, but we'll try and explain it clearly. And if we get it clear, it'll be a beautiful piece. Omar Ribeloza. So again, Rabbi Yisai, let's be absolutely clear. What is the question we're trying to answer? Why does Reb Meir hold you can pass all the other guys Eidim? Don't tell me we're talking about an Eid Echad. We've fallen away from that. We're talking about two perfectly kosher Eidim. How can you pass them? It's as simple as that. Omer Reb Elazar, says the Gemara, let's translate. Bebo hu va'acher lepoislo. That's it. Four words. Bebo, we're talking about that he has come, who? Himself. The Acher and somebody else. Meaning, Reuven, we understood until this point that Reuven is passeling Shimon's two Eidim. And that was the big question. How on earth can Reuven passel Shimon's Eidim? The answer being given by Ribeloza is that Reuven is not passeling Shimon's Eidim by himself, he has brought somebody else with him. So he's not coming alone. There's no way that a single person can passel two Eidim. But if this Reuven brings his friend Chaim, and the two of them now say to the Beis Din, I'm sorry to tell you that the two Eidim that my fellow litigant Shimon has brought are not valid. Ah, that's what the Mishnah means. So when the Mishnah says ze poisel edov, this one can pasel the edim, it doesn't mean that this one he himself by himself, but rather together with somebody else. Yes, Rabbi.
What's the chiddush? Edim zonman. I don't understand.
Hafuch, hafuch, hafuch. The opposite. You should be asking the opposite way around. You should be asking the opposite question, which is the next line of the Gemara. Not what's the chiddush. It doesn't make any sense. How can you possibly gang up with somebody else to form a cut of edus to testify in your own case? You're negeya bedova. Edim zayim is always when you bring two outside edim. You can never testify in your own case. So have a look at Rashi firstly. We'll see if the Gemara asks this question. Look at Rashi on the third narrow line. Obra Rolaza. Omra Rolaza. Sefer. The Sefer of the Mishnah. Remember we had the case of passing the Dayanim. And in the last case, passing the Edim. Sefer in the last case of the Mishnah where it talks about Gaba Edim, comma, it's talking about Babahu, where he has come, the Acher, and somebody else as well, Lepoislon, to passel the other two Edim, the Havelahu Trey. What does Trey mean? Because they are now two. He's not coming alone. We thought until this point that he by himself is trying to passel the other two Edim. No, 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 no. He's brought his friend Chaim. So Reuven, the litigant, together with some other aid, let's call him Chaim, is coming to passel the two Edim brought by the fellow litigant called Shimon. Says Rashi, De Havelahu Trey. The mishadi, what does the mishadi mean? Two who are testifying apsula, about their psul. Umehemni. And that's why they're believed, because they're two edim. Do you remember the previous line of the Mishnah? The previous line of the Mishnah says that you can passel the other ones dayonim. And we explained, if they're dayonim mumchin, then you cannot passel them. So what were we talking about? Do you remember the Gemara explained? We're talking about Dayanim from Surya, from the Erkois in Surya. They are not expert Dayanim, and therefore you can easily passel them. Okay, that makes sense with regard to Dayanim, and that's what Rashi says now. The Dayanim be'erkois sheba Surya. So now the whole Mishnah makes sense. You can passel the Dayanim and you can passel the Edim. How can you passel the Dayanim? That's with Erkois of Surya, with these so-called Dayanim from Surya who are incompetent, Kudu Okimna, as we have already established. Veloi psul mamish. It doesn't mean, even though the Mishnah does use a terminology of passel, it doesn't mean you're passeling the Dayanim. You're not saying that he's a Rosha or anything like that. But I require a beidina me'alia. I require an upgraded bezdin. So it turns out at this stage, l'choira, we say it very hesitantly because the Gemara is going to query it, but l'choira, the whole Mishnah now makes sense. You cannot simply pasel dayonim, you cannot simply pasel edim, even according to Rameah. There is no such thing as turning up in Bezin and just passling right, left, and center. I don't accept the Dayanim. I don't accept the Edim. Nishdo azazach. There's no such thing. How can you passel Dayanim, says Rashi. He reminds us of what the Gemara already said. We're talking about Dayanim of Surya, where they were incompetent. So if you're happy to go along with them, that's fine. But if not, you can invalidate them. And as Rashi said, it doesn't mean invalidate them to prove that technically they are apostle. What would it mean, apostle Dayan, by the way? A Dayan who's apostle means he's related, it's a Korov, or he is a Rasha. No, we're not talking about that. They're neither a Shoim nor Krovim, but it's my prerogative to say, excuse me, I prefer not to have these semi-competent dayanim. I prefer to have, as Rashi calls it, a beit dina me'aliyah, an upgraded good bezdin. That's case number one. Case number two, how can I pasul edim? Once again, it's not simply to be taken literally, you could just pasul edim. It's talking about where I come together with somebody else. So it's two versus two. So it's my prerogative to bring my friend Chaim and say, excuse me, these edim that my fellow litigant Shimon has brought, he's brought here Levi and Yehuda. I'm sorry to say, Levi and Yehuda are psulim. They're Rishoim, the Mechalalei Shabbos. Really, how do you know? Because me and Chaim are witnesses to the fact that Levi and Yehuda are edim psulim. Okay, so the Mishnah now, everything makes sense. Or does it? Says the Gemara. Look back into the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, kol kamine? Question mark. What does that mean, kol kamine? Is that his power to do so? Noigeya be'edusoi hu? Question mark. He's noigeya. You can't testify in your own case. If Reuven would bring Chaim and Yaakov, two other unrelated, not involved edim, that's fine. Like Larry said, we have a parasha of Edim Zayman, for example. You could always bring other Edim to Pasla first, but you cannot be one of those Edim. You're Noigeya. You're Noigeya. Why are you Noigeya? Because remember, we're talking about Reuven is the alleged borrower. And Shimon, his fellow litigant, has brought two Edim to suggest that, yes, indeed, he's chayv $1 million. So I've got every Negius, every bias, to want to puzzle those edim in order to exonerate myself. Then I don't have to pay the $1 million. So how can you possibly say that he can team up with somebody else to puzzle a first edim? He's noigeya. Question mark. Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, noigeya be'edusoy hu. Hi, Baldin, comma. This Baldin is Noigeya. Why is he Noigeya? Because he has every vested interest that they should not testify against him. De Mishum, Deloy, Lishoid, Oleho. It's in order that they should not testify against him. Koosi, he is coming, Lemifsele, to puzzle them. So he's not coming subjectively. He's coming with every agenda at heart. I don't want them to testify against me. So if he's Nogea Bedovo, how can he possibly be considered a valid witness to team up with somebody else to puzzle the first aid in yesterday?
But he doesn't know what they're going to say. It's not a it's a case of mumma. So cool. He's just puzzling an aid. He doesn't know if they're coming against him or what they're going to say.
Because Shimon has brought them, his fellow litigants has brought them to Besdin. Shimon says, I claim you owe me $1 million, and in fact, I have two edim to back up my claims. What's Reuven going to say? Well, me and my friend Chaim are going to passel your edim. So you can't, you're Nogea Bedovo. Says the Gemara, Omar of Acha Breder of Ikka, what we're talking about is Shekoro olov ir'er. How do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef, in your article? Shekoro olov ir'er, they have made some type of accusation. You're on mute, but if you want to unmute for a second, or completely.
Qualifying, disqualifying law. The opposing set of witnesses to possess a generally disqualifying flaw.
Again, Reuven is coming together with his friend Chaim. And what's he claiming? He's claiming that the witnesses that his fellow litigant Shimon has brought are invalid. What's his claim? What exactly is his claim? So the Gemara says, Kora Olov Ir'er. He has declared about him Ir'er, which means some sort of flaw or psul. I hereby declare and claim that the edim brought by my fellow litigant, these edim, karal of irer, I have an iru, which means I have a claim to stake, I stake a claim against them. What does that mean, a claim? What type of claim? What exactly am I claiming? Says the Gemara, irer demai. What type of claim? Irer means a claim. What type of claim? What exactly are you claiming against these edim? What type of psul? How would you want to disqualify them? Ilema irer de gazlonuso. If you're going to say that me and my friend Chaim claim that these two edim are gazlonim, they're thieves. And if they're thieves, obviously they are disqualified from being edim. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, once again, we go back to the original question. What was the original question? Kol kamine? Is that their power to do so? Noigeya beidusai. You are telling me that he is directly disqualified because he is a thief. Well, of course you're going to claim that because you have every agenda to do so, so that he shouldn't testify against you. Look at Rashi. Shekora olav irer. Bal din oimer lefoneinu. The litigant declares in front of us, al mahu poisloi, what exactly his claim is. He doesn't merely say that, sorry, he's apostle. That's not good enough. He says, I have a direct claim. I have a detailed claim. He mentions in front of the Beis Din exactly what his claim is. Not only that, he says, v'yesh acher imoy, and I have somebody with me to join forces with me to produce a kat edus against them. Says the Gemara, irer, says Rashi says, shemetz shel psul, a trace of a psul. What is it? De gazlanusa, and claiming that he is a gazlan meid olov, huva acher, both he and his friend Chaim are testifying she gazlan hu, that these edim are gazlonim, says Rashi once again. How could you do that? Noigeya be'edusai hu. Yonigeya. Mishum deloi nasid olea koma. Because I want him not to testify against me. And if I want him not to testify against me, because he alleges that I owe him $1 million, well, I'm noigeya bedova. If I'm noigeya bedova, how can I start claiming, well, he's a gazlan, don't believe him? Says the Gemara, look back now into the Gemara. Hello? Irer to pagam mishpacha. My claim is not directly against him. I'm not saying that he personally is a gazlan, he personally is a rosha. I'm saying he belongs to a particular family who are generally disqualified. There's not something wrong with him. What will be the example of that? Look at Rashi immediately. The pagam mishpacha eved hu. I claim that really he's originally a slave. Now, what type of slave? Obviously, it doesn't mean, we know there's two types of slaves. There's a Jewish slave and a non-Jewish slave. If he's a Jewish slave, well, he's a perfectly, fully fledged Jew and he's allowed to testify. What's the status of an Eved Kanani? An Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave, is essentially non-Jewish until such point that he gets freed. And once he's freed, then he becomes Jewish. So I'm claiming that this person is a member of a family of Avodim. And it's a family who were never freed. And if they were never freed, they are all still Avodim and are non-kosher Eder. So I'm not testifying directly against him. I'm saying it's a family of Avodim, says Rashi. Eved hu mimishpachas eved sheloi nishtachrer. What does that mean? Shelo nishtachre, they were not freed. In which case, he's non-Jewish. That's where they come from. Evedu mimishpachas eved sheloi nishtachrer bo. He comes from a family of avodim who are not freed, and therefore uposel hu umishpachte. Both he and his family are posel. So I'm not, as opposed to the first case, I'm not directly aiming my accusation at him. I'm not saying that he's a Rasha, he's done this, nothing to do with him. I'm saying his family, including him, but his general family are disqualified from being Eidim. If that's the case, am I considered to be a Negea Bedova or I'm not a Negea Bedova? Says the Gemara, this is the Machlokes, Rav Meir and Rabbanon. Look back into the Gemara. Hello, Ireir de Pagam Mishpocha. Reb Meir Sovar, remember, Reb Meir is the one who says that you can disqualify these Eidim. How so? Because Reb Meir Sovar, honey, these, who are these? This Reuven and his friend Chaim, Amishpocha Komis Hadi. We're really testifying about his entire family, the Ihu and he, the aid that they're trying to puzzle, Memela ka puzzle. What does Memela mean? Automatically will become puzzle, but it's not direct. I'm not testifying against him. I'm not saying he is a Gazlan. That's directly aimed at the aid, and you are considered Negea. Over here, I'm talking about his family, which Memela includes him. So Reb Meir is telling us a tremendous chiddush. If that's the case, you're not considered to be a Negea Bedova. And the Rabbonon disagree. Says the Gemara, the Rabbonon Sovri, Soif, Soif, Negea Beidusayu. At the end of the day, you are Negea. Who in the world cares whether you're testifying against him directly? Or you're testifying him against his family and thereby disqualifying him? Either way, you're Negea, says Rashi. Amishpocha komis hadi. Reb Meir says, I'm not testifying against him, I'm testifying against his family. V'lav mishum hai lechudei mishadi. I'm not coming to testify against him himself. Rather, against the entire family. Hilkoch, therefore, sahadusa. We keep having this word, mishadi and sahadi and sahadusa, all means witness or testify. Hilkoch, sahadusa, achrinahu. Therefore, it's considered a different type of testimony. V'lav k'negeya be'edus domi. I'm not considered to be negeya, but... I'm not considered to be Negea Be'edos. So what is the Machlokes then at this stage? At this stage of the Gemara, Rabbi Isai, are we good or are we not good?
Mm-hmm.
We're good. We've answered it. Yesterday, we saw in the Gemara that we tried to establish that how can you pasul other Eidim? The answer is talking about an Eid Echot. Okay, we've fallen away from that. The Loshen of the Mishnah clearly indicates talking about two Eidim. And if it's two Eidims, that was the big question. How can I puzzle two Eidim and a perfectly competent Eidim? What's going on? The answer is, I've brought my friend, somebody else, Chaim, to form a group of Eidos, so we're allowed to disqualify other Eidim. The big problem is, how can you disqualify Eidim who are testifying against you? Surely you are Negea. So the final analysis is that we're not talking about that I'm directly attacking my accusation at him. I'm accusing the entire family of being Avodim. Memela, that includes him as well. So we have a Machloikas in Reb Meir and the Rabbonon. Is that considered Negea or not Negea? According to Reb Meir, it's not considered Negea. Why is it not considered Negea Be'edus? because I'm not directly testifying against this aid. I'm testifying against the family, which, by the by, incorporates this aid. Say the Rabbanon, sorry, we disagree. Safe. At the end of the day, you have a vested interest to disqualify the family, because that will, by inference, disqualify him as well. And that way, you'll get yourself off the hook. Therefore, you cannot puzzle him. Yes.
It does not answer the problem that the Mishnah says Eidav.
It does. It's Eidav. I'm passing the Eidim.
No, you're going against one guy. You're saying this particular guy.
No, it means there are two Eidim. I may be passing just one of them, but we're talking about there were two Eidim. We're talking about.
And also, maybe when I'm going against his family, I don't need, maybe no, it doesn't matter if I'm okay, because I only need one person. How do you know I need two Eidim to testify about his family? Since it's a different type of testimony, it's against his family, maybe only one outside person is enough.
If it's a Dovash of a moment, you need two Eidim. Because this has ramifications for monetary matters, I need two. Yes, Ramesh Azeli, we're running out. You wanted to say something?
You answered my question.
Okay, so this is considered Dovash of a moment. So I think we would all agree that Reb Meir's position is a tremendous chidush. We would understand the Chachamim. At the end of the day, you have a vested interest. Says Reb Meir, because it's not direct, it's indirect, that's not considered to be Noigea, and that's how you can puzzle the other group.
If it's not Noigea, why do you have to have two Eidim? Because it's Mamonos. You could also say by Mamonos, everything's Noigea. He's making a chiddush and saying, because I'm not directly testifying, it's not Noigea. So I could also say, because I'm not directly testifying, I don't need two Eidim.
Oh, even if I'm not directly testifying, I don't even have a right to open my mouth if I'm an Eid Echot. I can only speak because I'm Eidus, I'm two. But what can I say that I'm talking about the family? But if I'd only be a single Eid, their Bezdin wouldn't even listen to me. Whether you're Negev or not.